today that I'm going to give is about the word. And I just want to give some prophetic words really quick. And I'm going to give one to the church. And there's going to be a few for some other people too. And then we're just going to dive in. But yeah. How many of you have ever seen a sunflower patch where there's just a bunch of sunflowers everywhere? How many of you know that when the sun is up, the sunflowers are looking at the sun, right? But when the sun is down, the sunflowers look to each other to get their source, right? To get their community. And I believe there's some people watching online that need to be here. And when we distance ourselves, when we start to be like, I don't have to go to church today. This is what the Lord Jesus set up. He set up the church. Okay? We need to be here for each other. When the sun goes down, we rely on each other, right? Okay? The sun will never go down on us, but we need to rely on each other. Right? Okay, and then there's a prophetic word for an individual, and I forgot your name, but you're kind of new here. You're right there. And I just saw that I was just praying, I was just over there, and I saw you, and the Lord showed you as a log that was in a log pit. It was like everybody was on fire. And when we separate ourselves, that the log lost its fire. But the Lord, he wants you to be patient because, did I just touch the mic? I did, that was annoying, sorry. But he is setting you on fire and you're gonna be on fire. You're gonna be changing things. You're gonna be doing things that you never thought you could do. So it's gonna be awesome. Just like, just be here. Just be here and you'll just see it happen. Okay. All right. That's it. Raise my mic. Oh, it fell down a little bit. Is that better? Can you all hear me? Okay. All right. So, yeah, how many of you have received a prophetic word before? Pretty much all of us, maybe a few didn't receive one. How many of you have seen it fulfilled in your lifetime? How many of you keep seeing it fulfilled? Like it keeps repeating itself and repeating itself. Yeah. Well, that's what the Lord's word does. It is alive. The word is alive. And he is faithful from the start to the finish, right? Whatever he has started, he will finish, right? None of that is in my word today. But, okay, let's just start with my first verse, please. All right, John 8:58. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." And that's like a huge statement. Let's just go right into the next verse, please. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Next verse. He was in the beginning with God. Next verse. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. Yeah, let's go one more to verse 9. Do you have verse 9 up there? No? Okay. Well, I'm going to try to save you guys a lot of money because I went to Bible college. And I'm going to try to save you guys a lot of money today. Okay. So, how to find Jesus in the Old Testament? He's in the first phrase. What is the first phrase of Genesis? In the beginning. In the beginning. The Hebrew word, I'm going to have you guys repeat that after me. The Hebrew word is Bereshit. Whoa, what'd you say? Don't swear. Bereshit. Turn it off. Reverence. Have reverence. Reverence for the word. All right. Bereshit. If you break down that word in the Hebrew alphabet, it means the sun on the tree. He is in the very first word, the very first phrase. The very first phrase. So, why is that important? Oftentimes when we receive a prophetic word, he starts a good work. He starts something within you. He ignites you. He is in the beginning with you. He is in that word with you. And the last word of the Bible is amen. And if you break it down in Greek, it also means the sun. The sun is the first word and the last word of the Bible. So with Jesus' authority, he has the first word and the last word. Whatever he says goes, right? Whatever he says goes. If he gave you a prophetic word, it's going to happen. If he gave you a promise, it's going to happen. He is faithful to the end. Amen. Amen. All right, I'll give you some stories. I was given a prophetic word in Bethel that I would play music for people. And whether it was good or bad, that things would just happen. And like they would just get hit with the Holy Spirit and all these things. And they said that instruments would come out of nowhere. Like people will just hand me instruments. And I told God, if you want me to play, so I had all these guitars, context. I had all these guitars, and I felt like God just wanted me to be a missionary. And I felt like he just didn't care. I'm like, but I also felt like he gave me those guitars. And I just sold them. And I was like, if you want me to play, you gotta make me better. You gotta whatever. And if you want me to play again, or he told me, I did not tell you to get rid of your guitars. I'm not pacing. I'm not nervous. Okay. So, he told me to not get rid of my guitars, even though I just did. And he said, I said to him, if you want me to play again, you're going to have to make a guitar come out of thin air. And so basically what happened is this guy messages me. This is while I was still living in Wisconsin. He lives in California, and I'm about to move to California to go to Bible college. And he's like, hey, the Lord just told me last night to give you a guitar. To give you a guitar. The Lord told me to do that for you. then I got a bunch more guitars, and then I sold them again. I was like, Lord, I can't afford rent. It's California. And then I came back, and Destiny knows this, she's aware of this, but we go up north to visit my family, and we're staying with one of my friends, and he's like, Austin, I want to give you my guitar. And I'm like, what? So he gives me his guitar. Then my grandma, she gives me her piano. Then this and this and this and this. And then I started selling it. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right, I want to give you guys some things. Yeah. How many of you know the parable? I didn't write this down, but Jesus is tilling the garden. He's talking about tilling the garden and how we can't receive words. Like, if you're a rocky garden, the word will just bounce off, right? The seed will bounce off of the garden. And then he said, a softer heart, I'm just paraphrasing this, a softer garden will receive it. It'll hold on to it. Yeah. Yeah, the Lord is saying to you guys that he has words for you that he gave you long time ago that you thought he wasn't going to fulfill. A lot of you maybe have been dealing with disappointment in some sort of way or some sort of fashion. But he is not done. He said, I am faithful to the end. I have the last word. I am the last word. I'm the first word. I have everything in between. I have everything in between. So I want to give you guys some comparisons. Okay, so we know about Adam and Eve, right? Let's go to Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Oh, that's what it was. It was verse 14 of John. I see. Can we read that quick? Do you have that? Okay. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So I just told you that he was there from the beginning, Bereshit. It's not a swear word. Bereshit. And he was there. He was there forming the world with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's go to Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Okay, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was a formless and desolate emptiness, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Next. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Next. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Next. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning in one day. Next. Then God said, I've skipped over something. Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. So why am I bringing that up? Why is that important? The Word formed something, okay? What was the Holy Spirit doing? He was hovering. He was hovering over something that wasn't formed yet. There was chaos, and he brought it into order, and he formed it. What did God the Father do? Ooh. spoke. He gave it identity. The Father gives identity. And he was saying, this is earth. This is water. And what was the Son doing? Say again? Speaking it? He was giving it life. Yeah, through his word, he was giving it life. So all these things were happening in the Old Testament when the earth was created. And then I'm going to summarize some stuff. So we all know then Adam and Eve came about, like they were made out of their own image. And what was Adam's job? He had a job from God. Other than multiplying. We're not going there today. Sorry, what? Name the animals. Cultivate the ground. Cultivate the ground. Till the ground. Okay. This is kind of cool. So, the Garden of Eden has four rivers. Four rivers. I want you to remember that. Okay. The comparison is your heart. Your heart has four valves. Okay, there's something there. Detective work. Okay, I'm trying to save you guys money. All right. All right. Yeah, so he took out his rib and he made a helper. Adam said, I have everything, but no one to share it with. So God put him to sleep, and then he was like, I'm going to make you a helper. He made him a helper. That was Eve. Then we all know the story where what happens next? They are told not to eat from a certain tree. Satan deceives them. The serpent deceives them. They eat from the tree, and they're kicked out of the garden. Okay, so the comparison. So now for the New Testament. So Jesus is Adam 2.0, right? 2.0 Adam. Okay, so the very first thing is Jesus, his commission with the Father is to till our hearts. He is tilling our hearts so that we can receive these words, so that we can operate, so that we can receive the gospel, so we can receive the good news, so we can receive encouragement from each other, from the body. He is tilling our hearts. That is his mission. Okay. Then Jesus is tempted in the desert for 40 days. He's tempted on the last day, not for 40 days. Okay, so Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry, which is already insane because I would have been hungry like the first hour. Like if God called me to fast, I'm like, I'm already hungry. I'm already being tempted. God, McDonald's is looking at me. Okay. All right. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What do you guys think Jesus is doing here? He's combating So the devil was trying to use God's word to Adam and Eve to convince them to eat the apple. Or it wasn't an apple, saving you more money. Okay. He was trying to do the same things that he did to Adam. He's using God's word to try to convince Jesus to do something he's not supposed to do. And what does Jesus do? He uses the word to combat him, right? He uses the word to combat. How many of us had promises, had words spoken over us, and then you heard, ah, nah, that can't be me. That can't be for me. I was expecting it a long time ago. I was expecting that thing a long time ago. God has never shown up for me. Well, you're hearing the wrong voice. You're hearing the wrong voice. God promises you. As long as it's within his will, he will do it. Can we go to the next verse? Then the devil took him along into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. Next. Whoa. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, we will give his angels orders concerning you, and on their hands they will lift you. Next. So that you do not strike your foot against the stone. Next. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Next. Again, the devil took him along to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Next. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I believe a lot of us just get a word and we just don't do anything with it. We don't realize that there's a battle that probably comes with it. There's a battle that comes with it. You got to protect that word. You got to fight for that word. All right, so the next comparison is Adam. He had his rib taken out, and his bride slash helper came out of him, right? So what about Jesus? Jesus was stricken in the ribs, and out of him was born the bride, the church. The church, the community, us. And the bride, we had a stone heart. Every word from God was written on stone tablets. The bride was Israel in the Old Testament. He said that he was married to Israel. And then in the New Testament, he says, anyone who confesses my name is an Israelite. So we're all Israelites. So I guess I should have started with shalom or something. I guess. Shalom. It's fine if you don't say it back. Okay. All right, so now we're all the bride, and we're the helper of Christ. We are his helper. And so what does he commission us to do as a bride? Does anyone know? Be the salt of the earth. Go and make disciples. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yep. Yeah. And he even says to encourage one another. To encourage one another. And that's why I believe there's a prophetic word over this church. Yeah. So if the Lord gives life, if Jesus gives life, we're to give life too, right? We're supposed to help him in that. So there's three times that the Holy Spirit actually hovers over something. So I told you guys the first time. The second time is the prophets in the Old Testament. He hovers over them. He gives them words. He forms them. He forms a nation. That's what he's doing. And then in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, what is he hovering over now? What's that? His people. His people. He is hovering over every single one of us right now. He is hovering over our hearts. He is hovering over the hearts of the people outside of the church. Because guess what? We are sealed up. We have a written word over our heart. We have a written word over our heart right now. And Jesus says, in 2 Corinthians, I might be going out of order, 3:2-3. You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all people, revealing yourselves that you are a letter of Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So we used to have the law. And the law was supposed to point out sin. And when it pointed out sin, it brought them into more sin. And it showed them that there's more that I'm dealing with than I thought I was dealing with. Things like that. And then there's a new law. And it is written on our heart. And the new law is the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life. So if the old law pointed out sin and the wages of sin is death, then the new law points out righteousness. Yeah, good. It points out righteousness and it leads you to more righteousness. Amen. It keeps bringing you, the Spirit of life keeps bringing you forward and pulling you. Just like the other law did. The other law was pulling you the other way, though. And that was a heart of stone that the bride had. And now the bride has a heart of flesh. Are you guys catching on to what I'm saying?
Good.
We have a heart of flesh. We can receive any word from God. We can move in whatever he says. And it's going to bring us life and life and life. The wages of righteousness are life. The wages of sin is death. The wages of righteousness is life. We're getting more life every single day. Every single day. Yeah. For those people who feel like God has fallen short on them, he is bringing you life. He is giving you a word on your heart that is going to bring you more life every single day. And I got to kind of repent because I was unthankful a few days ago. And I used my words to show that, that I was not happy with God's decisions. And basically, what's been going on in my life, I moved out of my house, and I had to get a new place, and I had a certain amount of time to do it. But then the Lord provided somewhere, and I didn't like it. I was not happy with it. But I remembered his word. And I was saying to him that I could go back up north, live with my family. You know, everything will be fine. I would prefer that. And then I was remembering his promises that he told me about Kenosha. I was remembering the treasures that he has here. There's a lot of treasure here. There's a lot of treasure. And so I'm changing my words to I am thankful. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for this person. Thank you for this city that I am in. Thank you that you are keeping me here. He wants me here. He wants you here. You guys have a mission, right? You guys all have a mission. We all have a vision. You know, what did Jesus use his words for? He spoke life into situations. We just learned that. He spoke over his city. He was speaking and encouraging the city. What are we doing? Are we just coming to church? Right? That's not what God designed. He made you a helper. You are his helper. Yeah, if there's any words that we should say, can we go to 1 Corinthians 14:3? But the one who prophesies speaks to people for edification, exhortation, and consolation. The one who prophesies. We are encouraging each other. That is the word that we have to speak. What Jesus spoke was encouraging the city. We're encouraging each other. When we're thankful, too, it moves God. It moves him. Look at Mary. Look at the disciples. When they were thankful, when they were moving in faith, you know, Jesus was operating miracles outside of his time. He was like, he was at the wedding, and Mary said, his mom said, hey, we need more wine, right? We need more wine. And he's like, woman, there is, I cannot perform this miracle yet. It is not my time. And then she looked at the servants and said to them, whatever he says, you do. Whatever he says, you do. And sure enough, he gave them orders. They got the stuff. They prepared a way. And the miracle started to happen. The things started to happen. And what did John the Baptist say? The Pharisees were asking him, who are you? What is your purpose in all this? Are you the Messiah? He said, no. Are you Elijah? No. Who are you? He says, I am one calling in the wilderness, make the path straight. The Lord is coming. Our job is to do the same. My words that come out of my mouth, I'm not coming up here with an agenda today. I'm not trying to make you guys do one thing or the other. I'm here to make a path so the Lord can move. The Lord can do whatever he wants to do. I didn't want to give you guys prophetic words today. I wasn't planning on it. And I just believe that's what the Lord was doing. So I have to be obedient and I have to make a way. Oftentimes you hear a lot of preachers today from various other churches, not ours, but we hear preachers sometimes where they come up with like, oh yeah, hey, I have this sin issue and I'm going to preach and you can have this sin issue too. You can get into leadership. You can do all these things. God doesn't care about that. God does care. We shouldn't have an agenda. We should make room for God to do whatever he wants to do. And he wants to give words that bring life into his people. His word is a sword, right? Ephesians 6 says that it's a sword of the Spirit. Yeah, the Lord is transforming our hearts. I just wanted to give you guys an analogy and a few more stories. But, wow, it's already 12:05. All right, there's a few stories and an analogy. But, all right, how many of you have read your Bible? Okay, how many of you brought it today? A handful. Okay, everyone who's got a Bible right now or your phone, raise it up. Raise it up and say, I love my Bible. I love my Bible. This stuff is going to bring you life. This is going to bring you life. He placed his word in this. He is the beginning and the end. He's got it all right here. If you want to be transformed, that's how you do it. That's one way. Amen. I've caught it this time. Okay, anyways, last time I preached, I cracked my fingers too much. So I was trying really hard to hold my hands back today. Anyways, okay. All right, Moses. What does he represent? Does anyone know? The law. That was really good. What does the Jordan River represent? Judgment. And it flows into the Dead Sea. And it goes all the way to a city named Adam. Interesting. Very interesting. And what could Moses not do? Well, yeah, there was a promised land that he could not enter. Why? Because he was the law. The law cannot get you anywhere. That law cannot get you anywhere. It cannot get you across that judgment. It cannot get you into your promise. Your works cannot get you into your promise. What is promised to you is a free gift from God, from Jesus himself. Where was Jesus? Oh, sorry. Who crossed the Jordan River? Joshua. What is the Greek alternate name for Joshua?
Jesus.
Jesus. Are you guys seeing this? Are you guys seeing Jesus in the Old Testament? Okay. He is the Word. The Word got them through. It gets us to our promise. Joshua was the only one to cross, and he took his army with him. Moses could not cross. He represented the law. Who was baptized in the Jordan River? Jesus. Jesus. And you. You were baptized there? That's pretty cool. That's a neat story. And everything that flowed out of him flowed into the Dead Sea, and it flowed into the city of Adam. Kind of cool stuff. So yeah, the word can get you across judgment. The word is written on your heart. The word is Jesus. He is written on your heart. He has your back. So I'm going to end it here. But yeah, what we should be saying is, I didn't tell the stories. I just remembered. I'll tell you one more, and then we'll be good. Okay? All right, there was a person at my old church, and this person was going to be a pastor, a female pastor. And this person was pregnant. And the doctor told her that you're going to either have to abort this baby, or either the baby will die or you will die. And what she said was, that can't be true because I'm going to be a pastor one day. God gave me a purpose. He gave me a vision that I would be a pastor one day. And I've already named this child. This child is named So-So. And this child is going to be this when she grows up. She spoke a word into her child. She spoke a promise into the child. And sure enough, she's getting... she's about to give birth, but everything's going wrong. And the doctor's like, you got one last chance. We can abort the baby and we can save your life. And she was like, I'm not going to die. The baby's not going to die. Neither of us are going to die. But everything looked like it was going wrong. Everything. She's in a helicopter getting sent out. And then the next day the next week, however long they got to stay in a hospital, I don't know. But she came back with her new baby. So we got two voices. We got a bunch of voices. We got the ones that are firm, that are confirming, like, hey, I have a promise in me. That thing, that Jesus is going to work it out and I will receive it. And then there's a voice that says, you need to abort that promise. Right? Don't abort the promise. It's going to grow in you however long it needs to take. Yep. The word will fulfill it. Stay strong, church. Stay strong. A lot of you are asleep. Or hungry. I don't know. Food coma. Is that what it is? Opposite of the food coma. Yeah, I just want to encourage you with that. So yeah, Lord, I just bless this church. I believe we're going to do communion, so don't leave just yet. I bless them with the promises that you have given them. I just pray that they hold fast and that they speak the words that you tell them to speak. They hold fast onto their promises and that, Lord, you are taking us over the Jordan to receive whatever they have been called to receive. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.